just listen to them. By listening to them, because when people speak, they say what they want to say, but also there is the subtext. So very often when they talk, when they communicate, they give you hints of their personality. They give you hints of what's going on at home. They give you hints or who's their favorite people, their favorite singers. So just try to listen attentively. And then in my process of preparing for lessons, I take all that into consideration.
Welcome to the School Behaviour Secrets podcast. I'm your host, Simon Corrigan. My co-host is Emma Shackleton, and we're obsessed with helping teachers, school leaders, parents, and of course students when classroom behaviour gets in the way of success. We're going to share the tried and tested secrets to classroom management, behavioural special needs, whole school strategy, and more, all with the aim of helping your students reach their true potential. Plus, we'll be letting you eavesdrop on our conversations with thought leaders from around the world, so you'll get to hear the latest evidence-based strategies before anyone else. This is the School Behaviour Secrets podcast. Hi there, my name's Simon Corrigan, and welcome to School Behaviour Secrets. I'm joined today by my co-host, Emma Shackleton. Hi, Emma.
Hi, Simon.
I've just been going through the podcast reviews, Emma, and I've got one here, 5 stars. The reviewer says, literally, my favorite podcast ever. Just going through and listening to old episodes as I patiently wait for new ones. There's so much gold here, so much amazing knowledge, and it's all transmitted in such a beautiful, understanding, and natural way. Such an inspiration.
Oh, wow. What a great review.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's a review for a different podcast called Manifestation Babe, but it must be really good because she gets loads of 5-star reviews. So good for her.
Okay.
And of course, if you leave a 5-star rating and review for Manifestation Babe, we might read it out on this show too. Emma, before we go any deeper into that, I'd like to ask you a question.
I think you should. Go on.
Okay. If you could be invisible for a day, what would you get up to?
Ooh, lots of listening in on conversations because I am super nosy. Maybe a bit of shoplifting too. Just kidding. What about you, Simon? What would you get up to if you were invisible?
Oh, I'd have a lot of fun in Greg's. The things I'd make those sausage rolls get up to.
But what's the point of your question today? What's the link to the episode? Is there even a link to today's episode?
There's definitely a link. So our guest today is Emir Cruz Fernandez, and we're going to talk about motivation. Why are kids becoming less and less engaged in the classroom, and what we as educators can do about it? And I think when people imagine becoming invisible for a day, you really learn about what motivates them intrinsically and their desires. It's one of those questions that when you ask it, people's eyes light up. And in the conversation we're about to share, Emir talks through some concrete techniques anyone can use for getting their pupils interested and motivated in their work and how to harness their goals and desires so their eyes light up when they walk into your classroom.
But before we press the play button on that interview, can I just remind you that if you haven't done so yet, please leave an honest rating and review for the show. When you spend just 60 seconds doing that, it prompts the algorithm to share School Behaviour Secrets with other teachers, school leaders and parents to help share this information and grow the show. And now, here's Simon's conversation with Emir Cruz Fernandez.
It is my pleasure to welcome Dr. Emir Cruz Fernandez to the show today. Emir has studied psychology, theatre, literature, art and languages and holds a PhD in Spanish Golden Age literature. He is a professor, actor, public school teacher and a theatre director and the author of Marvel Education, which focuses on creating successful classrooms where children can learn and thrive. He's also wrote the award-winning book Muslims of Spain and the much-anticipated book The Stoic Educator. With a deep passion for learning, Emir has dedicated his life to the arts and the dissemination of knowledge. Emir, quite a diverse palette of achievements there. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. It's my pleasure to be here with you and your audience.
I'm excited about this. It's a real pleasure to have you here. So we're going to talk about engagement and motivation today. And I want to start with the question, why do you think that it's harder to engage and motivate children in the classroom than ever before? What are the barriers that are getting in the way?
Well, yeah, there are many, many barriers. But I think the main reason right now is a lot of stimuli, a lot going on, social media, video games. There are a lot of distractions. And we teach in an industrial system in the age of information and technology. So it's difficult. There's no consonance between the system we have in place. And when I talk about system, I refer to public school system. As teachers, we are competing with social media, internet, video game, all that. So it's difficult. So they have a lot of dopamine going through their veins. And we have to, and here we come, hey, with an industrial education method, hey, engage, do this, do that. So it's difficult to compete with all with the dopamine and with all the stimuli they have nowadays. Sometimes they have learning issues, also learning disabilities, issues at home. I have experienced parents that they send their kids to school not to learn, but to make sure they have a babysitter.
Yeah.
To make sure they are taken care of. And also to make sure they have breakfast and lunch. Because at home, I mean, parents cannot provide them. Or there are many possibilities. There are many possible reasons for which students do not listen or do not want to listen or are not engaged in our classrooms.
We're on the opposite sides of the Atlantic. But one thing I've seen on this side in the UK is growing numbers of children and families that have lost the value of education. 100 years ago in this country, and education was your way out of poverty, you would be highly motivated to engage because this was your route to a better life. And that's not necessarily true anymore. I just wonder if you see similar things in the States, or you could speak to that.
Absolutely. That's not the case anymore. When I went to school, 80s and 90s, yes, we have goals and we valued education and we appreciated education, and teachers were basically our second parents. Here in the US, but also in the Dominican Republic, teachers were parents. Yeah, there was no doubt about that. Nowadays, yeah, it's very difficult. Students have these models. There are celebrities, stars, rappers, that they are our students' role models. But when you look at the behavior of those role models, you're like, wow, that behavior is, it's questionable.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's nowadays, it's not a luxury to be fancy, to be respectful. It seems to be the opposite. So also we are competing against those ideal entities. They are ideals to our kids, but doesn't mean that their behavior is appropriate. So yeah, that's another fact. That's another barrier.
I think the word influencer actually is the right word here. They have influence over our kids. They're not necessarily role models in the sense that they have a positive image or act positively, do they, in public arena? And kids are naturally drawn to things that are dangerous or exciting or edgy. In the book, you say we should begin the process of re-engaging pupils by looking into ourselves. And you started talking about this already, really, in the sense that the school system doesn't look that different in my country than it did 150 years ago. I was talking to someone the other day. You could take a Victorian teacher from 1862 in a parish school, put her in a modern classroom, wouldn't really be out of her depth. So why is looking at ourselves such a powerful starting point? And how can we do it in a way that helps us move engagement forward in the classroom?
Well, I think it's essential, especially as a teacher. I think it's important not to forget the reason why we became teachers. I became a teacher because I had great role models. My teachers were people that very respectful, strict, but I could tell they really cared and they contributed positively to the society and to myself. So as a young, well, you know, this is something, I want to take this path. I want to touch light. I want to connect. I want to do something to make this world better. So it's important to monitor ourselves and to remember why we are teachers. The administration, they demand a lot from us. And sometimes we get so engaged, oh, we must do this, we must do that, class observations, I have to prepare this curriculum. And we forget the reasons why we became teachers. We forget the reasons that we are there to connect and to bring something positive. We don't talk much about our mission as human beings.
So you're talking about a mission beyond test scores, how we can have a real impact on the kids in our classrooms and their lives and their aspirations and their motivations
I think this is what pulls people into teaching. Often they lose it. The system batters it out of them. But this is the spark when you talk to young student teachers. This is the fire in their eyes, isn't it?
Yes. What I'm trying to say is that if you are centered, if you focus on yourself, on your mission, somehow when you are genuine, when you are a center, we are energy. We communicate with words. We connect with others. But that connection is beyond the words. It's beyond what you can say. It's beyond what you can express. So if you are centered, if you know what you're doing, if you're connected with your passion, with your talent, they pick it up right away. If we find a method in which we can connect to ourselves and just deliver, they pick up that you are genuine. They pick up you are present. That's a key ingredient nowadays. Presence and human connection. So the more we are more in tune with ourselves, the more we are in tune with our mission as teachers, the better lessons we are going to deliver, and students will pick up on that. And they follow you, because human beings, we are wired to connect, and children and adolescents are wired to follow and to imitate. And very often we forget that. If you deliver your lesson, if you give them specific rules, specific guidelines, and they can see that you are following, you're being sincere, you are being honest, they just follow you.
People follow leaders, don't they? It's incredible. I've seen in my job, I have the opportunity to go from classroom to classroom in school and school. I've seen thousands of lessons and teachers teach. And I think a teacher can underappreciate the power of the person at the front of the room, because you only really see and hear yourself and your impact with your kids. But actually having seen thousands of adults, they're all different. And the way they present and whether they've got fire in their belly and whether they sound interested in what they're talking about, all those skills have huge impact on the energy in the room. And as you say, that the kids come along. You've talked already about the importance of building connection. So can you give me more specific sort of activities we can do in class or ways of interacting with the kids to sort of engage them, especially with those classes where the kids come across as disengaged? There might be people listening to this thinking, well, that's all well and good for Amir and Simon to say that on a podcast, but I've got that class on Thursday afternoon who don't move, who aren't interested, who don't want to learn about geography and tectonic plates. What do I do practically?
Well, yes. First, I think everything begins in the early days, in the beginning of the school year. First, I would recommend to have specific rules, specific guidelines. And it's up to the teacher how they come up with classroom rules and procedures. In my case, I give them the rules and I give them the procedures specifically to avoid confusion. I tell them at the beginning, this is what we need to do. These are our rules. And I am very, very, very specific, and even very specific on the consequences. And I tell them, oh, if you do this, these are the consequences.
So there's clarity. There's lots of clarity.
Clarity. Yeah. Everything is clear from day one, clear. And there's no doubt. And of course, they have the opportunity to ask questions in case if they don't understand. That's the first thing. Clear. Clarity. At the beginning, usually, they hate me. The human connection is very, very important nowadays, and is essential in my classroom. And that involves no cell phones at all in my classroom.
They must hate you.
At the beginning, yes, because no cell phones. Because if I see a cell phone, they lose 5 points.
You're giving them the purpose, aren't you, behind that request? So they understand the why.
Oh, yes, you understand. Yes. I tell them, you're on your cell phone 24 hours a day, or maybe 20, whatever. Then, I mean, we have protocols, we have procedures, and sometimes I give people assignments, tasks, and then after a month and a half, they will try to test me to see how far they can go or how much I can bend. Oh, no, I am not going to bend. By mid-October, they got it. And yeah, they adapt. In the process, I make them fall in love with the subject. How do you do that? Well, depends on the subject, it depends on the teacher, it depends on each person's style. But you find a way and try to see their interest, what they like. You listen to them, what are their talents, what are their tendencies. And then based on that, you play with that. And in your lesson, you try to implement as much as possible, not everything, because you cannot do everything in one lesson. As much as possible, you try to implement some of those aspects. Oh, he likes literature. Okay, let me maybe for this lesson, because Joe likes literature, maybe this part of the lesson, let me implement this element. So you try to see their interest, and then you try to implement some of those elements into your classroom. Of course, it's impossible to implement everything or everything your students like in one lesson, but you try. It's a process of trial, and you know, you try. Sometimes it doesn't work. You try something else. So the whole school year is a process of trying and see what works and modifying. So that also helps a lot with the connection, but also just listen to them. By listening to them, because when people speak, they say what they want to say, but also there is the subtext. So very often when they talk, when they communicate, they give you hints of their personality. They give you hints of what's going on at home. They give you hints or who's their favorite people, their favorite singers. So just try to listen attentively. I try to listen attentively and pay attention. And then in my process of preparing for lessons, I take all that into consideration. And I take note, oh, Joe said that he likes chess. And eventually, from time to time, I go over it and I use elements from that journal and I implement them in my lesson.
Now, that's really powerful, isn't it? Because, I mean, in the book, you talk about active listening and you started talking about active listening already. Active listening is not just sitting there and accepting what the other person's saying, waiting for your turn. It sounds like what you're doing is you're really thinking about and using that listening skill to connect with the kids. But then you're doing something even more powerful. You're remembering and you're making notes to help you remember. And then when you come back, what you've done is you proved to the kids that you weren't just standing there waiting for your turn in the conversation. You were absorbing what they were saying. They were thinking about it, acting on it. And that is true human connection.
That, Simon, that's the only thing we have left nowadays. So in an obsolete system that is not in consonance with our current era, what do we have left? Human connections.
And relationships.
Relationships. Yeah. I don't have a crystal ball. I don't have the tarot card. But I intuit in the near future, that's going to be a treasure. Real human to human connection.
Don't you think we saw this during COVID though, with lockdown?
Yes.
And kids were getting teachers on Teams, teachers on Zoom, which is a bit like watching the TV. You can interact, but you don't really interact, especially when there's 30 people watching. It's more like a webinar with someone at the front presenting. And we saw kids having real difficulty with their mental health and their social skills and their emotional regulation because that human-to-human connection was just missing. You don't get it through a piece of glass. So ChatGPT could probably give us the content. It could explain it kind of in 50 different ways, probably explain it better than I can. But what it can't do is walk around in the flesh. There's something different, isn't there? Almost like when you think about our ancients sitting around a campfire, having that human-to-human connection, telling stories and coming together.
Absolutely. And it's fascinating, Simon, because Plato, Aristotle, those great philosophers, that's how they were able to communicate person to person. And basically, nowadays, that is not obsolete.
No.
The human connection. And I don't think it would be in the next 300 years from now.
It's in our bones, isn't it? It's in our evolution. And evolution moves very, very slowly. Can you talk about the impact? You took it in the book as well. I mean, we talked about active listening and how to do that and how to do that without judgment, which you say is important. What's the impact specifically for the kids who have unmet needs or special needs? How do you implement it with those kids to have the maximum impact?
Yeah, it's a very delicate situation. But again, presence, seeing what works, what doesn't work, and also try to accommodate the best you can. Accommodate and modify your lessons, modify your techniques accordingly. And just being present, which is not easy to be present. It's not easy to listen, especially here in New York, in the public school system of the city. A lot of teachers have a lot of pressure, especially new teachers. Sometimes they don't know when they're going to be observed or how long. And that creates a lot of tension. And that, I think, that prevents them from focusing on themselves, focusing on the lesson, because they're so aware that everything is working in case that supervisor comes into my classroom and he sits down and to observe me. Sometimes it's very difficult due to that pressure to the he or she might come in and sit down and give me a evaluation, etc. And also, and consider those kids and when preparing your lessons, also consider their needs, consider how you see they learn better. Also, the way we evaluate them is very, very important. The way we evaluate kids nowadays in here in New York, it's obsolete. That needs to change right away.
In what way? In what specific way?
The grades, 55, 65, that's obsolete. It's just, it doesn't work. I cannot tell you right now specifically what we can do to change it, but definitely it doesn't work that way anymore.
In this country, in the primary schools anyway, the kids get a report. And I think one of the things that schools have to do is put them in one of three grades across some subjects. So you're either at expectations for your age, you're above expectations, or you're below expectations. And there's some kids every year who are struggling, they're trying hard, and they're making progress. They are making progress, but all they see on their report year after year will be below expectations. But I think in terms of motivation, that's going to be crushing, you know.
Let me ask you, so you have, those are the three categories you have in England now?
Well, in the primary schools, they have to deliver that information. And then there are paragraphs and the teacher will do their best to talk about how the child's tried hard to do X, Y, and Z. One of the first things they'll see in their reports is.
So you don't have grades anymore?
We do for older children. When like my children are teenagers and my daughter's just done a GCSEs. So she will get A, B, C, D, E, F, you know, those kind of exam grades. And they'll get test scores. But I was just thinking about primary in particular, because it's all about whether the kids are at expectations, above expectations, or below expectations. That's how the schools group the children together to some extent. They'll do their own test scores and things like that. That's the kind of blunt reporting because of the pressure from the government and Ofsted and inspectors and things like that.
The world is changing and things are different now. And that approach, I think, is obsolete.
We've started talking about kids and social media and less social interaction. And you talk in the book, it's a really interesting book. I like the book. It's very practical. You talk about how pupils may never have been taught to listen actively. So we talked about the teacher's role, trying to be present and listen and remember. What role do you think that lack of experience, lack of specific teaching from home and school has on pupil disengagement and challenging behavior in the classroom? And what do we do to skill them up at their end?
I believe that we set the example. We set the example and we model. Because there's a lot of stimuli around and it's difficult to really listen nowadays. All this dopamine going through our bodies, all these ping text messages.
All these distractions. And
all these distractions is very, very difficult. So if we can provide, if we can manage to provide them with a space that is different from what they experience 24 hours a day, I think that helps. And the importance of modeling. Modeling is very, very important. And find ways to connect with them and also to expose them to the world, to knowledge, but also to even sometimes to basic experiences. A few years ago, I was teaching a lesson and I don't know, somehow we ended up talking about table manners. And I was in shock, Simon, because there was a student that she had no idea that there was something called table manners. So I had to pause the lesson and explain to her a little, about table manners. I wanted to show her a video on YouTube, but guess what? The technology in that school was not working, so I couldn't even show her. We had a smart board, but we couldn't use it. So I spent like 20 minutes talking with the class, but especially for her, about table manners, because she was like, oh, at home, we just grab the plate and we sit on the sofa and we eat. She didn't have the idea that you can have your meal at a table. So really listen. And of course, it's impossible to save everyone, but just really listen, be present. They can feel your presence. They can tell you are listening and try your best because they will appreciate it.
You plant seeds. And you probably don't see them grow, do you? The payoff comes down the line and you never see it. You never appreciate it. I was talking to a teacher the other day and they were having difficulties connecting with the student. They were talking about what they wanted and the child was not really engaging and the conversation wasn't going anywhere. And he was saying, what's the point? It was like, well, you may not see the results today, but 5 or 6 conversations down the line in 8 months' time, the next teacher might see the result because you start small and you don't see the impact. And that's a really important message, especially around kids' social, emotional, mental health, well-being. So you never know the impact that you're going to have. He could be the next Steve Jobs.
Absolutely. That's why it's important to be present, to be there, to try to, I mean, try your best to be present, to be with them. Because, I mean, you don't know how that simple lesson might be impacting the student at that time.
Could you speak to the impact of using appreciation and recognition and praise in the classroom? I'm especially interested with your background in the theatre and working with kids. How can you deliver that in a way that feels authentic and not fake?
For me, what works is honesty. Honesty. There is an honest person there trying to teach you something 100%. It's not a perfect world. It's not a perfect system. But we can just try our best to become better human beings, to become better people. So I found out that using my techniques from theater that I have, you know, learned, combining that with other elements from other fields has helped me. I'm like a parable. I'm always listening, paying attention to them and see, okay, what can I use from this conversation? What can I use from, oh, I heard this comment. Oh, how can I use that comment for their education or for that student specifically and to help in a specific aspect? You will never end, as a teacher, you will never end to adjust, to make adjustment, to fix here, to modify there, or to cancel this. And we will never stop. That will never stop. Genuine appreciation and praise. Yes, I think it helps a lot. It's a way to let them know, hey, I'm watching you and you are doing great. You are doing amazing. However, make sure you're honest. Yeah, because sometimes here in New York, the system, they make it a rule. Oh, you have to make sure you recognize them, you appreciate them, you praise them. Yes, but they can tell when you're being fake.
They smell it a mile away, don't they?
Oh, yes, they do. They do. And so if you give a praise, make sure it's genuine. Make sure it's genuine. If there's something that they need to modify, also let them know. They will respect you more for that. If you tell them, you know, okay, you're on your way, you're on your path, you're getting closer, but perhaps if you modify this aspect of whatever, I mean, or perhaps if you clarify these points with 3 more examples, something like that, give them specific recommendations, but do not praise them just because the AP says that you must praise them or you didn't praise your students enough in that lesson that he or she came to observe you. Because sometimes, especially new teachers, they put up shows for their administrator when they come up to observe them. I mean, I don't recommend to put up shows. Just do what you do on a regular day. Just flow. But it's difficult because, you know, you, especially for new teachers, they have a lot of pressure. And it's very difficult to ignore that pressure or to block it. So the best way is to be honest, provide honest feedback. If you have to praise them, praise them. Thank them, give them responsibilities in your classroom, things to do, and appreciate them. Say thank you from time to time, if you deserve it, we can have a pizza party. If you deserve it, if you earn it. And also don't give anything for free, teachers. Yes, in order to get something, you must give something. And they pick it up right away. And to give something doesn't mean you have to give them something material. It could be like smile, a kind word, a thank you, an appreciation, a nice comment. Those are ways to thank your student, to appreciate them, to let them know without letting them know that you care about them, that you are honest, that you are there for them, that you are there to connect and to make them better people. Because by making them better people, we are all together, we are creating a better world.
My nephew once said something very, very wise. He was about 8 years old. And in his school, in his class, they had a special assembly where they picked someone who tried hard or had done something special each week. And the teacher had a tick list that she was working through to make sure no one got left out. And, you know, we were talking, and I said, have you had one of these special assemblies yet? And he went, no. And I said to him, well, are you going to try hard to get one of these assemblies? And he was like, no, there's only three names on the list. I don't need to do anything now. I just need to wait my turn. It's lost its value when all you have to do is like pick a number and wait your turn. It's reinforcing patience rather than effort. Amir, fascinating conversation. If you're a teacher or a parent listening to this podcast, what would you recommend is just the first step that a teacher can make to reconnect or re-engage a class that's disengaged? Or if you're a parent and your child is disengaged, just the first thing you can do to sort of set that process going in the right direction?
The first thing, look at yourself. Look, I look at me first. I make sure I'm connected. I make sure I have a purpose. I make sure I know what I'm doing and why I am doing it. Once I'm centered, I'm connected, I'm in consonance with my ideals, with myself, then you can start helping your students, helping your kids to connect. Yeah, because sometimes parents, we tell our children what to do, but we are not doing what we are telling them to do. And we say it, but they know, they can see, most of the time, they see that we are not doing what we are telling them to do. So first, the focus should be on me. Am I centered? Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Am I behaving accordingly? If the answer to those questions is a yes, then be ready to move on and try to inspire and tell them, hey, what I'm doing, you should be doing, because that will make us better people. And also our actions will impact other people, and the action of those other people will impact other people. And eventually it's for the whole world. Cause I mean, we are building this together. That's what has worked for me. I look at me, at myself first, and then organically I connect with them, and organically they, takes time, of course. It's a process.
I mean, how can we find out more about your book, where you go into these concepts in detail, your book, Marvel Education?
Sure. My book is on, right now it's on Amazon. It's on different platforms. Amazon, I guess everyone knows Amazon. It's on all the formats, audiobook, ebook, and paperback and hardcover. But also on my website. My website is emircruz.org. That's emircruz.org. That's my website. And if you go to the website, if you go to the store, you will get a link to Amazon.
And I'll put direct links to those in the episode description as well to make it easy for people. Then all they have to do is open the podcast app and click on the link. Finally, Emir, we ask this of all our guests. Who is the key figure that's influenced you, or what is the key book that you've read that's had the biggest impact on your personal approach to working with kids?
Beautiful question. Beautiful question. The first person that made a huge impact on me was my high school teacher, Patricia Chacon. She was my AP Spanish teacher in high school. A great human being. As a teacher, I mean, she was amazing. I fell in love with teaching because of her. But eventually, that lady became my best friend, my sister, my intellectual mother, literally, you know. And she provided me with several opportunities. With her, I was able to create my theater company. Also, she got me a scholarship to go to Spain. I studied in Spain because of her. So that teacher, she was an angel in my life. And because of her, I'm a teacher. Another person that influenced me through his books was Krishnamurti. Krishnamurti, the British Indian philosopher, and Joseph Campbell, the mythologist Joseph Campbell. So I guess those three people, yes, have to do with my formation, and my desire to become a teacher and share my knowledge or what I love, my passions with my students and with the world.
Oh, wow. Is that Joseph Campbell who wrote The Hero's Journey?
Yes. Marvel Education.
It sounds like you've been on your own hero's journey. Dr. Emir Cruz-Fernandez, it's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you today. Thank you for being on the show.
The pleasure is mine. Thank you for inviting me, and good luck to you and to all your subscribers and viewers.
Emir shared a really interesting mix there of both concrete techniques and a general educational approach to connecting and motivating any class.
And if you want to learn more, not just about engaging pupils, but about managing classroom behaviour in general, make sure you check out his book, Marvel Education. I'll put a link in the episode description.
And by the way, if you're working with a tricky class where the behaviour doesn't quite work or gel, and teaching lessons feels exhausting, like wading through treacle, then we get it. And we've got a completely free download that can help.
It's called the Classroom Management Score Sheet. And inside your download, you'll find a checklist of 37 factors that can have an impact on classroom behaviour.
The score sheet has got a list of things that you are either doing or not doing. So think of it like a clear roadmap to improve your presence in the classroom. The score sheet is based on thousands of observations that Simon and I have conducted between us, so you know it's based on real classroom scenarios, just like yours.
And if you're supporting a colleague with their classroom management, it can even help make your feedback and action points clearer and more objective for the person you're supporting too.
Get it now by going to beaconschoolsupport.co.uk, click on the free resources option in the menu near the top of the page. The score sheet is completely free. Get yours today. And we've also put a direct link to the score sheet in the episode description.
And if you haven't subscribed already, it's time to take action. All you have to do is open up your podcast app, hit subscribe, and you're done. Your app will download every new episode as it's released, so you never miss another thing. Plus, subscribing is completely free. And to celebrate subscribing to the show, why not throw on a cape or a tea towel if that's all you've got? Head out into the street, strike a power pose, proclaim your victory to the skies, and finally show your neighbours the superhero that's been lying within you all this time. Living your truth like this can surely only increase your social status within the group.
However you choose to celebrate subscribing, thank you for listening today. Have a wonderful week, and we look forward to seeing you next time on School Behaviour Secrets.